Hi, I'm Lorraine, Resource Manager at Athletics.
And I'm Tree, a designer at Athletics, and we're glad to welcome you to In Conversation, our series of friendly chats amongst colleagues and collaborators on subjects of personal or professional interest.
In this episode, we're speaking with Annika Hansen-Izora, a creative and activist based in New York. Athletics recently partnered with Annika on the design and development of Creative Ecosystems, a brand and online directory that helps Black creatives find resources and inspiration. Thank you for joining us today, Annika.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been super excited to find time to sit and catch our breaths and chat with you and get to know one another beyond the day-to-day hustle and bustle of the project collaboration.
So like, first off, can you tell us a bit about yourself, like where you grew up and kind of your journey up until now?
Yeah, totally. So I grew up and down the West Coast. I'm from East Palo Alto, California, moved to the suburbs of Sacramento for a while, and then lived in Portland, Oregon for 13 years. And then after school out in Ohio, I have been in New York for 2.5 years now. And I feel like so many, like anybody working in a design creative industry has like a total topsy-turvy kind of journey. But I started in UX research and design as my day job. But as my night job, I was working in a lot of artistic communities that were specifically for Black folks, for queer folks. A lot of my art is in poetry and in prose and in writing. So I've always been in both the design and artistic fields. And eventually along the way, I was like, you know what? I'm not feeling UX research anymore. I actually want to be making things all the time. And so I switched into art direction and design and moved to New York to do it and have been in this space since then. So right now, my day job is being the creative director of design at a startup called Somewhere Good, which is creating a social app that's centered around connecting people of color to the things that we love.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. It sounds like your history has been a lot of this kind of moving around and juggling through all these spheres. And it's interesting because when we're scheduling, you know, it seems like you're always popping up in a new city, you know, like seems like you got a very packed schedule. So we're curious, like, tell us a little bit about what you're all doing in the present.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, I'm usually traveling between New York and then Portland, Oregon and the Bay Area. And along with doing day job things as a creative director, I'm also a part of a few different collectives. One of those is Black Feast, which is a culinary art event series where we create culinary events based off of and in tandem with Black artists' work. And so coming up, we have a film festival in the Berkeley area where we're going to partner with different Black artists and having an interview series with different folks out there. So I'm usually working in that type of space as well, along with, you know, doing writing work and doing my own independent poetry work. So I end up traveling between different areas to host all the different things.
I'm very impressed how you manage your schedule and juggle all these things. It's very cool.
Me too. I am putting it together every day in the way that it works for that day.
So we'd like to dig in more about Creative Ecosystems. So Creative Ecosystems was born of a critical moment in American history and culture in the midst of an uprising for social justice and global health crisis. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience last summer, like where you were and how you were processing what you saw in America and around the world?
Yeah. So last summer I was in New York, and that was the combination of both the pandemic and one of the heights of the pandemic and then the uprisings for Black lives. And there was so much energy and processing and need for action all happening at the same time. And I felt that there were many different things that were going on. And one of them was seeing the different call outs that were happening against many different spaces, people, companies that have failed to do anything to support Black lives. And I'm thinking about call outs of like Bon Appetit and all of these other different spaces. And at the same time, there was incredible organizing work that was happening from Black folks, and organizing work alongside healing work, alongside artistic work. It felt like folks were really finding their different role in movement, because that can happen in a lot of different ways, and moving forward with that. And so I was in a place where I was really feeling the energy of build your own tables. It's a phrase that I'm not really sure where it comes from, but it's pretty much reflecting on this idea of, instead of trying to work within institutions and reform them on the inside, create the space yourself, create a space that's already made with Blackness and Black liberation and Black futurity at the forefront. And so I found myself not very interested in reforming institutions and more interested in this idea of building spaces that were by Black folks and for Black folks. And I also wanted to connect that a little further from the individual to the collective. And I think that's something that I think about a lot, is how do I, constantly thinking about how can I connect my individual efforts to a collective purpose. So I was thinking about how can I connect the collectives that I'm a part of to other collectives that are across the US and also globally. So that is where this concept came from, because I ended up trying to find a lot of different collectives and spaces that were invested in Black creativity and Black futurity. And I ended up making a graphic that shared all of these different spaces. And I ended up making a Google Sheet as well that listed Black-led creative spaces and collectives and platforms, alongside funds that were raising money for Black folks. And that ended up being passed around a lot of different spaces on the internet. And so I was thinking, yes, it's very important for folks to know that these spaces exist. And I was more drawn to this idea of showing other, of, I was more interested in the idea of connecting Black folks to these spaces so that something can be built in the future. So that ended up kind of being the journey from the energy of the summer into what this concept is right now.
I love that. And could you tell us a bit about the journey that came next, about the experience of taking the idea from the spreadsheet into this platform that we have now? Were there any unexpected interpretations of the idea, or do you feel that kind of where we're at right now is a faithful representation of the initial idea and aspiration? Did your thinking about creative ecosystems evolve over the past year as you went through the journey of making it come to life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there were unexpected things and then things that made sense. And I think when it comes to the journey of it, so this began as a Google Sheet, and it had about like 80 different funds and ecosystems on there. And I held the really strong opinion that I wanted this to be a website. I wanted it to stand on its own and be its own tool. And so I started using social media to connect to folks. And the direct ask was, I'd like to connect with someone that can help me build this. And a lot of the feedback that I had gotten at first was people being like, oh, make a Notion, make an Airtable, use these other third-party things to make this. And I was really like, no, because I felt like that was a misinterpretation of the goal. I think a lot about the terrain of the internet and literally how much space people take up on the internet. And I think of how much Black culture has shaped the internet. And yet there's few spaces online that really are centered in Blackness. And so it was really important for me to actually have a tool that was its own online. So I think that was something in the evolution of it, was really having to fight for the idea that it deserves to have its own space online. When it comes to the evolution of the term of a creative ecosystem, I don't even know where I first heard this term from. I know it exists. Like, I am not the originator of a creative ecosystem idea, but I think a lot of my poetry work is in nature and in looking to nature as a source of inspiration, and lessons. And so when I was thinking of this list of creative spaces, I was like, okay, well, collective isn't right because that doesn't capture everything that people are doing. Like, a lot of these spaces, they are both music labels, mutual aid platforms, zine publishers, and collectives at the same time. And an ecosystem is essentially many parts coming together with a common shared goal. And so there was an evolution for me in my framing of what a creative ecosystem is and just how broad that term can be. But I think the important distinction that I learned about it and that I'm still learning about it is that many people, or not many, people are coming together with a shared investment in futurity in an ecosystem. There's a really big commitment to sustainability and really looking towards what can come next. So I feel like as this project moves forward, there's going to be further, like, there's always going to be like this evolution in what a creative ecosystem means. What does it involve? To me, it's a super new idea that's very broad, but I think the freedom that that broadness creates is very helpful. So, yeah, still learning what it will turn into.
Cool.
And I love the inspiration from nature to use the word ecosystem, because like you said, ecosystem implies this like growth and evolution, and like the system can be, rebuilt, built anew, evolve. So that's a great, I think you settled on a great name.
Yeah,
Thank
totally.
you.
Also, like a lot of the language, like I know, like when we were working on the site, you use this term digital gardens and like that kind of stuff. Like that just gives me goosebumps because it's so like just thinking of it in terms of like the internet, which just feels, I don't know, not as like lush as like digital garden sounds. So yeah, really like that. What's been the initial response
Yes,
from the
absolutely.
organizations that have signed up?
Very
Oh, sorry.
excited, very hype, like very down to be a part of this, which has been really lovely energy to receive because I've been very much like, we're just gonna see how this flows. Like, we're gonna see how this comes together. But folks are very down to explore and be a part of this and what this can be. So they're hype and I'm excited too.
Sweet.
Thinking about your own life and career, what communities or contexts have been particularly nourishing or inspiring to you?
I feel like so many. I'm like, I mean, I'm very like, all of my work is essentially like a part of a collective of all of these other teachers and like healers and people and artists that I've been honored to work with. But I mean, Black queer community is essential to me and how I navigate the world, and also the world that I believe in and the world that I'm fighting for, Black queer world. Black trans worlds, those that are really looking at Black liberation through multiple lenses, whether that's art, whether that's healing, whether that's knowledge creation. All of those have been spaces where I've really learned. I learned a lot from poets, and the poetry community has really been a space where I've learned a lot about what it means to write, what it means to create a space, has been really, really incredible. And then my family, all the grandmothers in my life, very essential. I feel like writers and artists and poets, all of those different spaces have taught me so much about nature and design and pretty much everything. So yeah, I would say those spaces in particular.
And I love the idea of creating a space, this feeling of knowing, seeing from a different communities and different groups of different communities what it feels like to be in their space, in a safe space, supported. And this idea, through the pandemic, we've been able to kind of rethink what that means because we're all remote. So creating a space no longer means necessarily being in person in a room. And so to be able to translate that feeling of being in a supportive space into these just new creations that we've never seen before coming out of the pandemic, that's awesome to see. And that's awesome to hear that you've taken those feelings and inspirations and are, infusing that into creative ecosystems.
So what other projects have you been focusing on lately? I know you mentioned Somewhere Good and Black Beast. Can you talk a little bit more about those or any others that you've got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned Somewhere Good. We're a startup that's trying to reinvent the internet, essentially. And we're a team of people of color that are essentially looking at what does it look like to create a social app that's designed differently than anyone that's kind of existed before, which is a big mission with a small and powerful team that I'm really excited about. And then in my other work, a lot of what I'm interested in is spaces that are really thinking about Black futurity and also access to healing and access to really connecting to ourselves in order to connect to each other. A lot of what I'm inspired by is thinking about the collective, because I think so much of, there's a really big focus on the individual, and I'm really interested on what allows us to really move forward with a collective energy that is supportive to both individuals and the collective at large. And so at Black Feast, really, while a lot of our work is centered in food, because food is such a healing space, we're also thinking about how can we create this as a platform to really support Black artists, and how can we connect the healing that is brought by food to these larger ideas of Black creativity and imagination. And a lot of the other work that I'm exploring, I really love, I talk a lot about friendship in my work, and really interested in how deepening friendships is both supportive to us as individuals, and then also how friendship is really this space where it's okay, if we really are hoping for liberation, of a better world, then we need to know how to be kind to one another, and work together. And to me, friendship is a place where we're really playing out these ways that we know how to connect to one another. So I think and I talk and I write a lot about friendship, and I'm working on an experiments in friendship book and project to come out later in 2022. and it's going to be specifically working with Black trans and queer folks in these experiments in how to deepen our intimacy and friendships, and what it looks like to build deeper relationships and friendships, and what does that mean about our individual selves, and then what does that mean about our collective selves. So yeah, those are a few things. Pretty much anything involved in like friendship and art and dreaming, that's what I'm working with at the moment.
I'm gonna be looking out for that book.
Yeah, same. When you said friendship, I just like a big smile came to my face, because yeah, like so much of like the kind of information out there on relationships is a lot about family and navigating relationships with a significant other, but there isn't that much resources on like focusing on the intimacy of friendships. And for me personally, like friendships has been key in the development of my identity. Like friendships has been the number one like kind of influence on how I develop my own personal identity. You know, a family can't really support, for me personally, my family like couldn't support that. And like with partnerships, it's different. So I love that emphasis on friendship. And yeah, I'm excited to hear more on experiments in friendship. For the future of creative ecosystems, how do you hope to see creative ecosystems grow and evolve? And is there anything you're excited to see in the future for it?
Yeah, I feel like there is so much possibility for this project, and I really am open to and calling in all the different ways and interpretations it can grow. For now, some of the things that I'm really hoping for in the future is really seeing this grow and see it evolve. Right now, this project is largely focused on ecosystems that are based in the US, but I want it to grow to be able to be a global tool that is really connecting folks on a global scale. So that's like immediate future, really wanting this to expand in that way. Eventually, I also want to see how it can be expanded to really connect folks to each other. I think it's interesting that there has been so much critique, necessary critique of social platforms. And I often see, I look at Instagram like my phone book nowadays. It really is like my best directory tool, and I would really like to not use it as the main directory, which is another reason why I'm excited to have this creative ecosystems resource. But I'd love to see explorations on how this can be a way that is pulling people into connecting to each other in a way that is not based off of Instagram. Like, for example, one of the creative ecosystems in the design, it lists people's social media, people's social media links, like their Instagram or their Twitter. And we had a creative ecosystem respond and say that they'd love if they could share links to their Discord and their Arena, because they're trying to get folks to move away from looking at IG and instead connect directly to the platforms where they're really talking and connecting to each other. So that is a kind of progression that I'm really excited by, and really thinking about, okay, right now this is a directory that is allowing people to just absorb information. And I'm excited for the point where people are connecting information in a deeper way and deeper connecting to each other. I'm not sure what that looks like directly in this moment, but I'm really excited to see how people use it and kind of go where the people are going, like see how folks respond and move at the speed of that.
Do I hear whispers of a future mobile app in development?
I know, I'm like, let me not try and make a whole company out of this unless that's what people want. Then that's a question for another day.
Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about or share that we didn't ask you about?
No, I don't think so. These were such great questions. Like, I feel like I've covered pretty much everything.
Cool.
Yeah, this is it's such a rich discussion, what you're working on, where creative ecosystems grew from, that it was so awesome to hear you talk about it in person and hear your side of things. And we just think you're such an awesome and like chill person. We just wanted to know, like, what are some of your personal fun hangout spots around the area in Brooklyn or New York? I might like try to sneak in, pop in, and come say hi one day. But we're curious, what are some of like your favorite stomping grounds around Brooklyn?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. See, like, I am like, okay, I'm not a shut-in. I'm gonna change that answer. Like, I feel like my spots are so regular. But I feel like a lot, like, I've been so excited that the music spaces in the city have been coming back. So I love Nowadays out in Ridgewood, who does incredible, one of the best dance floors in Brooklyn, but they also do incredible film nights and they show concerts that you really can't find. Like, they did a screening of one of Prince's old concerts and it was just like so incredible. They also have bomb food like all the time. So highly suggest that. Also, Public Records is an incredible venue, but also beautiful, beautiful restaurant, beautiful bar. Like, it was created by Soundheads, so it like is made for acoustics, which is incredible. I really love flower shops. And so, like, that's one of my weekly rituals is to get myself flowers. There's this incredible flower and skateboard shop. It's called Park Delicatessen. It's so beautiful. They have like really tight skateboard things that make me want to skateboard. I like cannot and I'm scared too, but like it definitely makes me want to do it. So highly, highly suggest that space. It is incredible.
I'll definitely have to check that one out. I also love flower shops, and I love seeing like the hybrid flower coffee shops that's been popping up a lot in the city. So yeah, anything
Yes.
hybrid flower shop, I love it.
Like truly, truly the best.
Okay, we were also really wondering if you could tell us your sun, moon, and rising.
Dying to know. We're dying to know.
We've been dying to know this whole time.
I've been making
God.
so many guesses throughout the conversation.
That is so funny. Wow, I'm so excited to share this answer and delighted to. I'm a Pisces sun and then a Sag moon and a Cancer rising. So feelings on fire is pretty
Okay.
much my personal brand.
I was guessing Pisces, and I was also guessing if you had a strong Aquarius placement anywhere.
I do. My Mercury is in Aquarius, so
Okay, so the
all
sign
the
of
ways I
intellect.
think. Yeah.
I'm a Sun Gemini, also Moon Sagittarius, and Rising Scorpio.
I love that. Oh my God.
An Aquarius Sun and a Leo Moon and Rising, but I have like four Aquarius placements
Oh my God.
throughout. So we all got fire moons here. We're a fiery bunch.
Yes, I love that. I think that's a great like I love a fire moon. It's like, like not like right up front, but once you like get a little deeper, it shows itself very plainly.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like not outright, but there is something that just keeps that person going. There's like a drive, there's like constant coal in the tank. So.
Exactly. Oh my God. I love that that question was
Lorraine
asked.
and I talk about this all the time, and we're like, you have to know. Yeah.
It. Oh my God.
And actually, before we wrap up, maybe we could take some time to talk about this event that Tree and another coworker, Ellen, has been planning called, actually, I'll let you, Tree, I'll let you introduce it.
Ellen and I are doing this event called Merch for Mutual Aid. It's going to be a fundraiser, like a print workshop fundraiser for Bed-Stuy Strong. And we'll be doing, like, we've collaborated with a few Brooklyn artists to design some merch that we'll be printing, and then proceeds will be going back to Bed-Stuy Strong. And then we have this really great gallery space. It's going to be at the Living Gallery in Bed-Stuy, and a lot of artists have agreed to donate some artwork to put on the walls, so that'll also be for sale. And it'll hopefully be a really cool, like, community time. There'll be music and there'll be drinks, and yeah, that's going to be on August 21st.
Yeah, so if you're around, we'll definitely be posting it on the we'll be sharing news about it through the athletics channels, like either Instagram or whatnot. Yeah, August 21st, and what was the location?
The Living Gallery.
So that will be happening. It's an open invitation for all. And yeah, Anika, this was so lovely to chat with you today.
Thank
Thank you
you
so
so
much.
much.
Thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, really, we're really looking forward to the launch. And good luck in these last final pushes.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited that I got to talk to y'all and so excited for the launch. Thank y'all so much for having me.